listening to 88.7 WHCL-FM, Clinton, New York. I'm your host, Pete Bianco. This show is titled The Ringer, and you can listen to it Wednesdays, 8 to 10 a.m. And if you can't get it on the radio, you can stream it live on the internet at whcl.org, and the programs are archived at radio4all.net. And when you get there, just search The Ringer, and that's W-R-I-N-G-E-R. And we were just listening to Don Hubert, Professor Emeritus from Purdue University, talking about glyphosate. Unfortunately, we're cutting that short. You can always listen to the archived version of that. And we do have a guest later today, and I also have a guest host today, Donna. Welcome, Donna.
Thank you very much, Pete, and welcome to all of our listeners and to our special guest. Today we're going to be playing Genetic Roulette, a selection from the film Genetic Roulette, which is about genetically modified foods. For those who don't know anything about it, this will be very enlightening to you and very interesting. This segment that we will be playing is available on YouTube as entitled Genetic Roulette Remix 10-minute, 50-second version. There are many versions there. If you'd like to share this with other people, that's what you would do. You go on YouTube, remix, 10-minute, 50-second genetic roulette remix. And that will go on for about 10 minutes and 50 seconds, and then we will bring on our special guest, Alexis Baden-Mayer, who is the political director of Organic Consumers Association in Washington, D.C., and she will discuss current pending legislation on bills to label genetically modified foods that will affect all of us and what all of us might do if we would like to participate in the democratic process of our government and having it represent our needs and concerns. I'd like to invite everyone before this begins to get a pen and paper handy, at least while the genetic roulette is playing, if not at this moment, so that you can jot down any questions that come to your mind when you're hearing this segment and when we're speaking with Alexis. And then we're going to invite you to call in at the following number, 315-859-4200. We will be giving this number again, 315-859-4200. So you can call the station. We can have you on air to ask questions to Alexis, but that will be a while from now after the remix that we're going to play and our interview with Alexis. So we're going to stand by now. Pete has the segment available and ready?
Yes.
Before we do, I would like to read a little intro to today's program, if I may.
Please.
In Albert Einstein's diaries, he has been quoted as having written after he realized that he had created what had become nuclear power and the atomic bomb, after he realizes that he had contributed to such a thing. This was found in his diary, quote, "Spirit must again overcome technology." I'll repeat that. Spirit must again overcome technology. Albert Einstein was the epitome of an example of human beings trying to create progress for humanity through developing and experimenting with technology as a solution to the ills of the world and advancing society at large. His example has shown us that brilliant technological advancements and inventions are not the solution to humanity's problems of not living in peace, abundance, health, beauty, and harmony on this planet Earth that we have called our home. It is due to our lack of consciousness, consideration, awareness, and caring, our lack of spiritual principles, that we have continued through to the use of our technology to pile and compound more and more problems, challenges, and outright destruction to all of life here on Earth, and more recently, extending beyond our Earth into our solar system and the planets beyond. It is time for us to put the age of technology at rest and behind us, as other ages in their failures have succumbed, and then move on to an age of enlightenment, an age of compassion and of love, because that is what save us and what we need and are lacking here at this time in our history of evolution as a species on planet Earth. Therefore, this program today is dedicated to our awakening to learning from the lessons of Albert Einstein's legacy and what he would want us to learn from it as he pushed the envelope of advancement through the use of technology as requested and driven by so-called needs and cries of humanity. More technology without consciousness leads to destruction and demise. There is no room for life in a system that puts anything other than priorities of life itself first. Technology for the sake of technology on material gain does not equate life. And this is what we are now head up against today. As said by Albert Einstein in his diary, I once again quote, "Spirit must again overcome technology." And with that, we will proceed to listen to the 10-minute, 50-second remix available on YouTube entitled Genetic Roulette, information on what GMO foods are. Okay, thank you. Pete, we're ready?
All set.
Thank you.
Americans get sick more often than Europeans and people in other industrialized countries, and they're getting sicker. Since the mid-90s, the number of Americans suffering from at least three chronic illnesses nearly doubled, and America's international ranking for infant mortality and lifespan also plunged. There are many reasons why this is taking place. One may be right in front of you.
They take genes from one species and force it into the DNA of other species. The very process of genetic engineering creates unpredicted side effects.
It does not exist anywhere in nature.
They can put it on the market without telling the FDA or consumers.
Every single cell within that plant is producing a toxic protein.
BT is designed to break open the stomach of insects and kill them. The EPA got it wrong. It does break open little pores in human cells, and it might cause the same kind of disruption in our guts as it's causing in the insects that it kills.
How did my son get these food allergies? Our food supply is genetically modified. And guess what? The food that my son ate on August 25th, 2009 was raw corn, the corn that almost killed him.
We're continuing to feed our GMO-contaminated food to our children.
The vast majority of genetically modified crops are engineered to make it easier for farmers to kill weeds. For example, Monsanto's Roundup Ready crops, which comprise most of today's GMOs, can survive applications of Monsanto's best-selling weed killer, Roundup.
Plants treated with Roundup have a reduction in available nutrients. They're weak and they're sick. The animals that eat the nutrient-deficient plants, they become nutrient deficient and weak and sick. Then we eat the animals and the plants that are nutrient deficient, and we may become weak and sick. In addition, the residues of the Roundup in the plant can end up in our bodies where they can chelate, hug some of the nutrients that are in our bodies, making them less available as well. Lab animals fed Roundup Ready soy have had serious reproductive disorders. In mice, the testicles changed, including damage to the young sperm cells. In rats, there were changes in the uterus and ovaries. The DNA functioned differently in the embryo offspring of mice. When female rats were fed genetically modified soy, more than half of their babies died within 3 weeks. The babies were also smaller and could not reproduce.
Children are particularly more sensitive to GMOs for several reasons than adults. Number one is they have higher metabolic rates. They metabolize food quicker. They need more food. And their cells are changing quicker. They are growing rapidly. So they have a higher cell turnover. They have higher metabolic rates, higher respiratory rates, so they require more nutrition, they eat more. And number two is that children are more sensitive to smaller doses of toxins than adults. We don't respond to toxins the same way.
Their immune system is not prepared for it.
Any gene changes that can be passed on to the baby can be passed on to future generations, and it's a new field of genetics called epigenetics. And that's what I'm worried about, that I thought in the old genetic days, we thought that genes weren't so mutable. And we now know that's not true.
When I first discovered that GMO was in infant formula and infant food, I was outraged.
We can't say for sure that GMOs have anything to do with autism, but we can't say for sure that it doesn't. In fact, there's been an increase in autism since GMOs were introduced, and animals that eat GMOs, both in laboratory and in livestock situations, have shown some telltale signs that some practitioners say are linked with autism.
The goal of Monsanto was to replace all natural seed, to have all global agriculture completely driven by genetically modified seed, and to create a market for the chemicals associated with those genetically modified seed. There was no sense of nature. There was discussion of how to eliminate natural seed.
When I get in discussions with people, they say, well, the government reviewed them, the government's approved them, there were mountains of studies done. They couldn't have gotten it that wrong, and if it was so bad, somebody would speak up about it. But in reality, the few people that have spoken up about it have paid a high personal and professional price for it.
Because of the direct investments of these companies in our universities, new professors know very well that if you expect to get tenure, don't do any negative research on GMOs.
Ultimately, the buck stops at the scientist evaluating. That's me. Then if I agree, then I'm part of the corruption. That's happening. If I don't agree, I get fired. I chose to be fired.
People always ask me, can we reverse the damage from eating a genetically modified diet? Well, mice in an Italian study give us some hope. They were fed genetically modified soy for 8 months and showed damage to their livers, pancreas, and testicles. But when they were put on a non-GM soy diet for the next month, a lot of the problems reversed.
I've had a lot of different patients come in with various stages of chronic disease. That's what I specialize in, sort of these complex cases. And by changing the diet around, changing their nutritional status, a lot of the things that they come in with literally just go away.
There are only 9 genetically modified food crops, but their derivatives are found in over 70% of the foods in the supermarket, particularly the processed foods. There are 4 ways to avoid GMOs: by organic, by products that say non-GMO, by products listed in our non-GMO shopping guide, or avoid the at-risk ingredients altogether. Principally, soy, corn, cottonseed oil, canola oil, and sugar from sugar beets. Most of those crops are genetically engineered. So if it's grown in the US and it doesn't say organic or non-GMO, it's genetically engineered.
The failure to disclose in this, to me, is the real issue. Europe labels these things, Australia labels these things, Asia labels these things, and yet here in the US, we've all just been blissfully ignorant. I have a problem with that because it's not in the best interest of my family.
It's hard enough as a mom to have to go in and read every label. Your time's limited, and you really have to be knowledgeable about it. It should have been in there all along. I feel like we were tricked.
These products are on the shelf before you even know they are, and now they're in everything.
I don't want to be a human lab rat, and I certainly don't want my 2-year-old daughter to be a human lab rat.
The GMO labeling issue is on fire in the United States. Bills have been introduced in 19 states. Although none have yet gotten past Monsanto's lobbying and influence peddling, in California, we have a real chance of victory, because in California, it's a ballot initiative. People vote directly. So we finally have a chance to get what 9 out of 10 Americans have wanted for more than a decade: mandatory labeling of genetically engineered foods.
I have enough questions about this technology to wonder what's happening with us. We have studies that say everything's okay that in the industry, an industry that I don't trust. We have studies by independent doctors that say there are huge questions and that there are problems. There have been no long-term human studies done on this, and I, as a grandmother and a mother, am outraged that our government and that our agencies are not taking care of this for us. They're not protecting us. We have a right to know what we're putting inside of our bodies.
The entire world is looking to California because we can turn it around from this one place. The enormity of the threat is unprecedented in history. All living beings, all future generations. So the enormity of the solution is something that we cannot afford to let slip away.
You know, if you like GMOs, you think they're great, okay, label it, you know, just be proud of it. Buy it, label it, and, you know, but we have a right not to buy it. So, you know, that's our issue. And we're taking that to Washington. You know, we got to bring outside pressure. We got to bring a wake-up call to FDA and, yeah, make our voices heard.
We're taking back the power to the people.
I just want these corrupt governments and corporations to leave my body alone, to leave my family alone, to leave my milk alone, my food alone, my family alone, my community alone. I can take care of myself. The whole world can take care of itself.
How do we get rid of genetically engineered foods? It's much easier than you think. And we don't have to ask the government for a bailout. We can do it ourselves. In Europe, when they achieved the tipping point of consumer rejection at the end of April 1999, within about a week, most major food companies committed to stop using GM ingredients. They had become a marketing liability.
This impacts everything and everyone. It's not just an agriculture issue. It's not just a food industry issue. It's an ever-living creature issue.
It's the most dangerous thing facing human beings in our generation.
It's in our hands. It's right in front of us. It's just a matter of avoiding genetically modified foods and inspiring others to do the same.
You're listening to 88.7 WHCL-FM, Clinton, New York. I'm your host, Pete Bianco, and the show is titled The Ringer, and you can listen to it on Wednesdays from 8 to 10 a.m. Programs are archived at radioforall.net. That's radio, the number 4, all.net, and you can stream it live on the web at WHCL.org. I have a guest producer today, Donna. Welcome, Donna.
Thank you very much, Pete. And we're going to have a guest today called Alexis Baden-Mayer from the Organic Consumers Association. She is the political director for the Organic Consumers Association in Washington, D.C. And before we continue, I would like to invite everyone to take a pen and paper. Keep it handy, because you may come up with questions as you listen to Alexis and as you have heard our remix segment from Genetic Roulette, which is a full-length film that you could find on YouTube, concerning what GMOs are and the whole matter, because we will be giving you an opportunity to call in a little while. The program will go until 10 o'clock to ask questions and contribute any information that you may have that would be of value to all of our listeners as well. Again, I'd like to mention that you're listening to WHCL at 88.7 FM on your radio dial, 88.7 FM. The call-in number, and don't call it now, but it is 315-859-4200, 315-859-4200. We'll let you know when is the time to call in case you would like to. Okay, so we're speaking again now with Alexis Baden-Mayer from Organic Consumers Association, and I'm going to let her introduce herself further. She will be talking with us concerning current pending legislation on bills to label genetically modified foods. Alexis, welcome.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you today. The Organic Consumers Association is a grassroots network of about 1 million organic consumers around the United States. We have an affiliate group in Mexico as well via Organica, and we have members all over the world, in fact. But we're focusing on getting labels on genetically modified foods here in the United States right now. The United States lags far behind the rest of the world on this issue, on whether consumers deserve the right to know what we're eating. 61 other countries have genetically modified food labels, but we've never had any genetically modified foods labeled in the United States. So that's our cause, and we're working nationally. We have there are bills in more than 20 states around the country, but we're focusing this year on the Washington State ballot initiative to label GMOs. It's very difficult to pass labeling legislation through legislatures, especially because our chief foe, Monsanto, the company that manufactures genetically modified seeds, is a big campaign contributor and a big lobbyist, not only in the federal government, but also in state legislatures. So we're working on a ballot initiative where the voters will get to decide whether genetically modified food should be labeled, and we think we have a much better chance of passing a bill if we give it straight to the voters.
May I ask you a question, Alexis?
Sure.
I have a few questions. First, you said there are 61 other countries that have restrictions on using GMOs. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. All of those countries at least label genetically modified foods, but many of those countries ban the very foods that Americans are eating on a daily basis.
Okay.
Genetically modified bovine growth hormone, the hormone that's given to cows to make them overproduce milk.
Okay, could you stop for a minute, please,
sure.
Because a lot of our listeners aren't familiar with these things that you're mentioning, and I'd like them to have that information in addition, if you wouldn't mind, to see the scope of this issue.
Sure.
This is a hormone that's injected into cows to have them produce vaster quantities of milk, correct?
Yes.
And it's genetically modified.
Yep.
Which
it's
we didn't know. And it's in
modified ingredient that entered our food supply.
And it's in all of our milk products and cheese, cottage cheese, ice cream, unless otherwise indicated on the label to have no GMO content or to be RBGH free. Is that correct?
Yes, and organic.
Or organic. So the way to avoid that particular GMO hormone is to buy organic or something labeled GMO-free or bovine growth hormone-free. And
yep.
There's not too many of those around other than organic that are for sure. Okay, thank you so much. Now, what were some of the other 61 countries? Could you name a few?
Well, all of Europe has labeling.
Okay.
Japan has labeling. Your listeners might be surprised to know that China has labeling. India has recently passed a very comprehensive labeling law. They'll be labeling foods from animals that are given genetically modified grains, animal feed that's genetically modified.
And I'd like to stop for a minute here and have our listeners understand why that would be of any significance. The health havoc that ingesting genetically modified foods rages on the biological system through eating these things is also going to affect the animals, and then the animals have that in their system, so that's a way that then we would have it in our system. Is that correct, or anything you'd like to add to that, Alexis?
Yes. In fact, there was a Canadian study produced recently that took blood samples from women of reproductive age who had been eating normal North American diets, and the scientists found that more than 90% of the women had a BT toxin, an genetically engineered toxin created by Monsanto that's engineered into plants to allow the plants to produce their own insecticide. That toxin was found in the blood of 90% of women of reproductive age and 80% of their fetuses in the fetal cord blood. When the babies were born, they were born with the genetically modified BT toxin. Now, the scientists thought to themselves, how is this getting into their systems? Because we've got things like cotton that are genetically engineered with the BT toxin, also corn, but most people don't consume a whole lot of corn directly. And the scientists surmised that we are getting the BT toxin through eating animals that were fed a diet primarily of genetically modified corn and or cotton. We also feed animals cotton seed oil or cotton seed hulls when the oil is pressed. We feed the animals the roughage. That's the waste product of that. So if the animals are eating cotton and corn, and that's genetically modified, and we eat the animals, we still get the genetically modified traits in our systems, and apparently it can even pass through to our children.
How about corn syrup, which is in all of our candies and sodas and juices? Would that be involved as well?
Absolutely. It's really amazing, though, that these toxins... An alarm just went off here, my cell phone alarm, and that's going to be very distracting. I'm just going to turn that off. Hold on a second. Sorry about that.
No problem. It's interesting to know that corn syrup is insidiously incorporated into
so many
products. I'm just explaining how corn syrup seems to be as soy these days. That's the other one. There are like four or five main crops that are genetically modified. One is soy, one is corn. Perhaps you can give us the names of the other ones, but I know that we're noticing that soy is entering everything, things that are very unlikely, and the
mm-hmm.
corn syrup.
Yep. The genetically modified crops that are most prevalent today are genetically modified soy, cotton, canola, sugar beets, alfalfa. And all of these crops are either engineered to produce an insecticide, that's the BT toxin, or they're engineered to resist an herbicide. So these are seeds created by the chemical companies to produce pesticides and allow the indiscriminate use of herbicides.
Which means that GMO plants are receiving a much heavier, greater dose of pesticides and herbicides than the average plant would have. Is that correct?
That's right. Over the last several years, hundreds of millions of pounds more herbicides have been spread all over our food. So it's, that's another health hazard associated with genetically modified foods. In Argentina and Brazil, where we have massive soy plantations, and the soy has been genetically modified by Monsanto to resist the Roundup herbicide, the populations that live near the plantations are getting really heavy exposure to Roundup herbicide, and these communities are suffering from terrible birth defects in their children and horrible cancers in people of all ages. So these are very, very dangerous herbicides that are associated with genetically modified foods.
Okay, thank you. Sugar beets is another product that's interested me, because it came to my understanding more recently that a lot of products have sugar beets used in them instead of regular sugar, and how are we to know the difference? For example, all the candy that our children eat, the cookies and the baked goods and the prepared foods, packaged foods, that have the ingredient sugar written on them, is it possible that that means sugar beet sugar?
Oh, it's highly likely that that means sugar beet sugar. The estimate is that about half of the sugar in the United States comes from sugar beets, and my recommendation to anyone trying to avoid genetically modified foods would be to avoid all products that say sugar where it's not specified as to the source, because that's very likely to be sugar beet sugar. If it says cane sugar, then that comes from sugar cane, which is not yet genetically engineered.
Thank you very much. You know, it's easy to think with what's going on with this issue that there's nothing safe to eat anymore, we can't eat anymore. Some people I've known have said, well, you know, it's in everything and we have to eat to live, so I'm not going to worry about it. But in fact, this is, in one way, it's a double-edged sword, because it's a negative thing that's happening, but it's a positive thing that's happening, which is why we're doing this program and we want people to be informed. Because if you're informed, then you can make choices that support not only your health, but the health of the planet, which we need to survive in order for us to have our survival. The Earth has to be healthy if we are to be healthy. And if we continue to spray toxins all over it, not only are we killing it, we're killing ourselves, because we go hand in hand together. We're dependent on Earth for our life. Healthy Earth equals healthy humanity and healthy animals and healthy everything. So what we do, as Alexis has said, we choose organic as much as possible. And can you very briefly explain, perhaps our listeners in the Clinton area don't need to hear this, but for anyone who's not totally familiar with it, briefly explain what organic is, an organic product, as opposed to a product that doesn't say organic.
Well, most people don't know a whole lot about how food is produced in the United States today. And learning the organic standards and what's disallowed in organic is a good introduction to how conventional food is produced. For instance, sewage sludge, the waste from our toilets, is actually spread on farmland in the United States. And with certain controls, food can be grown on that land. And so,
can I interrupt? Could that be part of these outbreaks of salmonella, et cetera, and the different bacteria that we've had in some of the foods and the plants, like the spinach, et cetera?
Absolutely, yeah. We're spreading manure on farmland as well that's untreated. So municipal waste and factory farm waste are two sources of horrible foodborne illnesses, and then, you know, certainly also antibiotic resistance. So we've got these two problems. We've got the bacterial illnesses that are spread through waste from human beings and animals that spread on our farmland. And then because the animals are given 80% of the antibiotics that are used in the United States, their waste has a tremendous amount of antibiotics in it. And then the bacteria that is dangerous to us becomes resistant to those antibiotics. So that's a huge problem. And that's just one of the things that is eliminated when you buy organic food. So you can't have sewage sludge, you can't have untreated animal waste, you can't have your food irradiated, you can't have dangerous pesticides sprayed on your food can't be genetically engineered. And there are many other restrictions on synthetic ingredients used in organic food, used in conventional food that are disallowed in organic. Every single product that's used on the farm is vetted by the National Organic Program, and every single ingredient that goes into the food is vetted by the National Organic Program when you buy certified organic food. So it's a great choice.
So it's raising food as nature has intended it, simply and purely.
Yep.
Okay. Pete, did you have any questions or anything that you'd like to add or ask?
Well, it's just a little bit on a different topic, but I was curious of what's happening with the salmon, the genetically engineered salmon.
It's very close to approval. The Food and Drug Administration has been reviewing genetically engineered salmon for the last couple of years, and they initially produced a report saying that it was safe to eat. Now, I decided to go beyond the headlines and read the report for myself. And in fact, you know, any person who's at all concerned about what they're eating would read this report and say, the FDA doesn't even think it's safe. Because the FDA found from the company's own studies that the salmon is a lot more likely to contain high levels of IGF-1. And this hormone is also present in human beings. And people who have elevated levels of the hormone IGF-1, they have high cancer rates. There's a big correlation between IGF-1 levels and cancer rates. So this genetically engineered salmon is more likely to cause cancer. It's also more likely to trigger allergies. It's also less nutritious. They found that it had very low levels of omega-3 essential fatty acids, and that's why our dietitians tell us that we should seek out salmon as an excellent food source, is because it's high in these healthy fats, the omega-3s. But the genetically engineered salmon has tremendously low levels of omega-3 compared to Alaskan salmon, but even compared to any type of farm-raised salmon. So the salmon is less nutritious and more likely to trigger allergies that could provoke even death and cancer in the long term.
Okay. I'd like to, I'm sorry, Pete, is there anything else you'd like to say about that?
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to take a minute to explain very briefly to our listeners what exactly GMO is. It stands for genetically modified organisms. And again, if you watch the film Genetic Roulette on YouTube or the Remix or any sections of it, you'll get this information. There's, if you Google on your computer, genetic GMO foods, what are they and what are the health risks? You'll have a potpourri of material to read as well. It's very important these days, now that we do have the computer, that we use it to educate ourselves and inform ourselves, not simply entertain ourselves. That's kind of a distraction, a diversion, although entertainment is nice at times. All this information is waiting for us. GMO. I'm going to give an example. It involves the splicing of genes from animals into plants. That's one of the things it does, such as fish genes into tomatoes to keep them from freezing at low temperatures. And that's one of the more simple versions that have been going on. I read online the other day, I mean, we could come up with all kinds of horror stories, and I don't want to be frightening everyone, but something about using the aborted fetuses, something in them, to create genetically modified foods that stimulate the appetite so that you want to eat more of that food. I don't know how that works, but that there someone's working on doing that. So rather than going further and further into the black hole, getting more and more negative information about what's going on, the simplest thing is to find out what the solution is and go for that and support it, which is organic. Which brings us back now to Alexis and the Organic Consumers Association and their actions currently on legislation, bills, labeling genetically modified foods. What's currently happening now that your organization is working on, Alexis?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there are over 20 states that have GMO labeling bills in progress. Most state legislatures are in session right now. New York is currently in session, and I would encourage all of your listeners to call their elected officials and demand the right to know what's in our food and ask for your elected officials to support state legislation for our right to know.
Okay, I'd like to ask you in simple terms, if you don't mind. Do you have a phone number? How would we get the numbers? How would we find this information? Call Google online.
The legislative phone number right now, but you know, there's a really good resource online called righttoknow-gmo.
Just a minute, I'm writing that down. RIGHT, mm-hmm. 2TO.
Yep.
So there's two T's there.
Yep.
Okay. RIGHTTOKNOW or NO.
KNOW.
Mm-hmm. Right to KNOW at what?
Dash.
Oh, dash, no at. Okay, dash.
GMO.
GMO.
Dot org.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that. RIGHTTOGNOW dash GMO dot org. Okay, thank you. And what will that give us, please?
This is a coalition of volunteer activists who have created state organizations to work for GMO labeling. And this is a marvelous group of people. I've met some of the state leaders. They're mostly women. They're mostly my age. They mostly have kids. And they've learned that by eliminating genetically modified foods from their diet and from the diets of their children, they've restored their fertility. They've reduced symptoms in their children on the autism spectrum. They have really improved their gastrointestinal health. And they've seen all of these benefits from adopting a non-GMO diet. And they feel very strongly that every person in the United States deserves the right to know what they're eating, so that if they do have health problems, they can try to mitigate those health problems by adopting a non-GMO diet. And so this coalition is working in 36 states right now. And you can go to their map, and they have a New York page, and the New York page gives you information about AB 3525, and it has a link to GMO Free New York. But this website has information about all of the states working on GMO labels. So if you're listening online and you're outside of New York, there's information there for you as well.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to take a moment now just to give a station ID. Unless Pete, would you like
sure.
to do that?
Okay. You're listening to 88.7 WHCL FM, Clinton, New York, and this show is The Ringer. My name's Pete Bianco. My guest producer today is Donna, and if you'd like to reach us here in the station, the telephone number is 859-4200, 859-4200. And I found a telephone number here for the Congressional Capitol switchboard if people want to reach their representative. And then you tell them where you are, and they can tell you who your representative is. And that phone number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121.
And that's for the Congressional Capitol what?
Switchboard.
Switchboard. So then you could ask for the representative of your state.
Yes.
And then say you want to leave a message. And what message, again, do you suggest that they leave, Alexis?
Well, there's a very important issue happening at the federal level. Monsanto was able to attach legislative language to the continuing resolution that was just passed by the Congress and is currently today will be signed by the president. And this very day today? yes.
Oh, wow.
And so this is kind of a done deal, but it's important to communicate with your senators and elected representatives about this, because it's going to come up again in 6 months. And the rider that Monsanto attached to the legislation that just passed says that the courts have no power to stop a genetically modified crop or a genetically modified animal from entering the commercial market or farmland or, you know, our dinner plates. The courts have no power to stop new GMOs, even if the USDA has approved the GMO illegally. And we've seen this happen recently. There's a wonderful organization called the Center for Food Safety that's been reviewing all of the USDA approvals of new GMOs. And the USDA has never disallowed a new GMO. They have approved everyone that's come through their organization. And this is the United States Department of Agriculture. All the new GMOs they've approved. But sometimes they haven't followed the law as they should have, and the Center for Food Safety has been successful in getting the courts to recognize that consumers have a right to choose non-GMO food, and the farmers have a right to grow non-GMO crops. And the courts have recognized this right, and they've said that if the introduction of a new genetically modified organism would eliminate that right, because the GMOs inevitably contaminate the natural crops or they contaminate wild populations, for instance, the salmon, the courts have recognized that it's the USDA's duty to look into this problem of contamination and stop a genetically modified organism from entering the environment if the contamination problem is going to deprive us of our right to choose non-GMO. And, of course, you know, Monsanto despises the fact that the court can stand up for farmers and consumers. And they've gone to Congress, and they've gotten this rider attached. And now it's the law where a court, at least for the next 6 months, any court that's reviewing USDA action has to stop short of preventing a new GMO from entering the food supply. And that's a terrible restriction on judicial review. It just eliminates this concept that we all learned in grade school, that we have a government with a separation of powers and three co-equal branches of government that can review and put checks and balances on the actions of the other branches. So it's probably unconstitutional, but it has passed Congress, and this law is being signed by the president probably as we speak. So it's very important to contact especially your senators, but also your members of Congress, and let them know that this is unacceptable to you. We cannot let corporations get special exemptions from the judicial process. It's not fair. You know, even if you think that, you know, corporations shouldn't be regulated this way, why does Monsanto get a special pass to not have to follow what the courts say about their products and their products being approved by the federal government? So it's just a terrible precedent for the regulation of any industry, but it's going to have a terrible effect on us, because now even if the USDA, like imagine the courts say that the USDA has approved something dangerous, for instance, the new crops that Monsanto wants to get approved aren't resistant just to Roundup, which I've mentioned is dangerous enough. It causes birth defects and cancer. But they're looking at creating new genetically modified crops that are resistant to older herbicides that are even more dangerous and toxic. They want to create corn that is resistant to 2,4-D, which was half the formula for Agent Orange used to defoliate the farmland and jungles of Vietnam during the war. So this has caused horrible birth defects that continue to this day in the country of Vietnam. And they want to create herbicide-resistant crops that can stand unlimited doses of 2,4-D. So, you know, this is what Monsanto's plan is, and that's why they need a law like this that would prevent the courts from stepping in and stopping the commercialization of dangerous new genetically modified crops.
Okay, I'd like to interject for a minute, please, if I may. The bill that was just signed is AB2535, is that correct?
No, that's the AB2535 is state legislation that's in the state of New York currently, and I certainly would encourage the listeners to call their state legislators about that right to know bill to label genetically modified food.
And what does this bill say? We would be for this bill, is that correct?
Yes.
We're for the right to know
in New York.
Okay.
And then the bill that I was just talking about previously was the continuing resolution, and there is a rider that has been known as the Monsanto Protection Act, or the biotech rider, and it's very important to call your members of Congress, and Pete has a number for you, to call Congress and say that you oppose the biotech rider that was attached to the continuing resolution, and that you expect your elected representatives to get that rider out the next time Congress passes a budget bill or appropriations bill.
Okay, and that number is 202-224-3121. Now, I'm wondering if some of our listeners would like to call in and have any questions. Otherwise, we can continue, or we can play again Genetic Roulette Remix for 10 minutes, which has a lot of information for people who are just tuning in. You're listening to 88.7 FM, The Ringer, with Pete Bianco and guests Donna and Alexis Baden-Mayer from Organic Consumers Association. Before we forget, Alexis, is there a website for Organic Consumers Association in the event people like to know more about your organization and what you're doing, please?
Organicconsumers.org.
And that's spelled?
organicconsumers.org.
Oh, .org. Okay. And no spaces in between, no caps?
That's right.
All right. Thank you very much. And let's see. Pete, want to add anything?
Yeah, I'll just add that last night I saw Genetic Roulette, and in the film there was Andrew Kimbrell. He's the executive director for the Center of Food Safety. And he was saying that we've had a number of wins when it comes to keeping genetically engineered foods out of the food supply. And he named some things like genetically engineered tomatoes and potatoes, and I forget what else. Would you like?
Wheat? Yeah, that's true. Consumer rejection has been our best tool. In addition to the lawsuits that the Center for Food Safety has used to hold back GMOs that the USDA has approved, but eventually those things get approved. So the best thing that we can do is let the companies know that we don't want to buy genetically modified foods. And as Andy Kimbrell talked about in Genetic Roulette, consumer rejection kept genetically modified tomatoes off the market. They kept genetically modified potatoes off the market. And so far, consumer rejection has kept genetically modified wheat off the market, and we don't have genetically modified rice yet either, and that's partly due to consumer rejection, partly due to the fact that the rice industry got contaminated with a pharmaceutical version of rice. They can actually engineer plants to produce pharmaceutical drugs, and some of that rice contaminated the food supply rice, and then the rice farmers lost millions of dollars because they couldn't sell that contaminated rice. So, you know, there are all sorts of problems associated with genetically modified foods. And if we if we raise our voices, we can keep these foods off the market. Right now, the big issue is genetically modified salmon. And there's a campaign to get grocery stores to reject genetically modified salmon. And so far, Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and Aldi have all rejected genetically modified salmon. They've pledged not to sell the salmon if and when it's approved for consumers.
If we can get it labeled.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big concern, is how are the grocery stores going to be able to reject the salmon if it's not labeled?
Mm-hmm.
They would have to get affidavits from their suppliers that go all the way back the supply chain and confirm that the fish is, in fact, non-GMO. And that's not as hard as it sounds, because, you know, we do have a modern technological system that can track our food supply back to the source. So even if it's not labeled, consumers and grocery stores and restaurants can choose non-GMO salmon.
Okay, we're going to have to a little bit fast forward here now, because our time is moving along. And I just want to clarify one thing without elaboration, if it's possible, please, just direct. By consumer rejections, what do you mean?
I mean that we need to contact our grocery stores and the food companies that we buy food from and let them know you don't want genetically modified foods.
Fine. That's great. That's plenty of information. It's simple, to the point, and people can grasp that, and I appreciate it very much. I'm wondering if we should open the phone lines now, Pete, to see whether... Oh, by the way, do you happen to know and have any information, Alexis, on who is on the board or the owners of Monsanto?
The CEO is Hugh Grant.
And who is he? Do you know?
He has been in the biotech industry for a long time.
Okay.
I don't know much about the board members of
right.
Monsanto, but there is a good group called Occupy Monsanto that's been doing shareholder actions at the Monsanto board meetings. And so if that's something that interests your listeners, I encourage everybody to check that out at occupy-monsanto.org.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Pete, does it sound okay to you to see if we have some listeners that might like to ask some questions?
Sure thing.
Okay, I'm going to give the number again. It's 315-859-4200, 315-859-4200, and I'm going to ask anyone who calls in to please be very careful, very to the point, and just direct one straight direct question, or if you have information to share, keep it to the point so that everyone else has an opportunity to jump in as well. Thank you so much. Okay, do we have any callers coming in, Pete?
No, not yet.
We don't. Okay. So we'll give one more minute here if anyone wants to call in. No callers for questions for Alexis Baden-Mayer from Organic Consumers Association?
Not yet. So.
All right. So what do you say? Should we play the... play the roulette one more time?
Sure.
And then that'll finish in time for us to close up.
Sure.
Unless there's anything additional pressing that Pete or Alexis want to add quickly now?
I would like to mention that we can all support the ballot initiative that's happening this November in Washington State. And if that ballot initiative passes, we are very likely to see labeling nationwide.
Okay.
And so I would encourage everybody to check out the Washington Ballot Initiative. It's I-522, and you can donate, and you can even volunteer for the campaign. One of the things that's very important is that we rebut the lies of the biotech industry. They say genetically modified food is safe. They say genetically modified food is going to feed the world. They make all sorts of claims about labels being too expensive for consumers and producers. And it's very easy to rebut these lies, and we all need to be a part of that. So you can actually volunteer for the campaign as an online volunteer to help rebut these lies when they turn up in the newspaper or on social media. And so we can all participate either as volunteers or donors to the I-522 campaign.
How would somebody do that? Would they call your organization and you give them information?
We do have information.
How do you suggest somebody who wants to do that do it?
I would go to labelitwa.org, and that's the website for the campaign.
Okay, labelitwa.org?
That's correct.
Okay, that's to volunteer to help online.
And then you didn't tell us what you're in the process of doing with your organization now.
You're asking for
contributions. We have to be very to the point. I wouldn't elaborate on anything additional at this point, if it's okay. Just directly, what you're doing and what you'd like from people.
We've pledged to raise $500,000 for the I-522 campaign, and you can donate on our website, organicconsumers.org.
And you will use that to do what, please?
That will go directly to the campaign, and it will be money used to organize our field campaign, to organize grassroots volunteers, to be all over the state and at the poll booth on the voting day. And it'll also raise money to be on television and have commercials that support the I-522 ballot initiative. And so, you know, between those two things, the grassroots effort and buying media buys for commercials on television, it's a very expensive proposition to run a ballot initiative, but it's really worth it. If we get this issue to the voters, we can win.
Okay, it sounds great and very important. And again, the name of the organization is organicconsumers.org. You could Google that online. Do you have a telephone number people could call?
Sure, let me get that for you. Okay, so I don't have the phone number memorized. I'm embarrassed to say that.
No problem. You can get it, and we can give it at the end of the...
It's right here. You can call our office. We're based in Finland, Minnesota, and the number is 218-226-4164. And you can make a contribution via credit card by calling that number. And all the money that we raise will go to the I-522 campaign in Washington State.
Okay, and they can also write a personal check and send that in?
Of course.
Okay, great. And if you call that number, they'll give you the address to send the check in, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is everyone in agreement that we'll put the remix on again?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Okay, and then at the end, we'll just conclude. You're listening to The Ringer, 88.7 FM, out of Hamilton College, Clinton, New York. Our guest is Alexis Baden-Mayer. Producer is Pete Bianco. The program's name is The Ringer. My name is Donna. Okay, now we're going to listen to Genetic Roulette, a 10-minute remix available on YouTube. Thank you.
And we're back.
Okay, we've chosen to stop the feed early because Pete, Alexis, and I, Alexis Baden-Mayer, Organic Consumer Association Political Director out of Washington, D.C., an organization that's dedicated to informing the public about GMOs, its hazards, and helping put through legislation that will require billing of genetically modified food so that consumers will know when they're buying genetically modified food and have a choice. We have some more information we want to share with you. We're sorry we had to interrupt that feed. If you'd like to hear it again, it's on YouTube. It's called Genetic Roulette 10-Minute Remix. Okay, Alexis and Pete. Pete had a question for Alexis. What was it again, please, Pete?
Sure. The question is, how did, in California, the ballot initiative only failed by a small percent, and what kind of tactics did the industry use to overcome the ballot initiative?
Well, they spent $1 million a day putting up television ads, and the main point of their television ads to consumers was that it was going to cost each and every family in California $400 a year in their grocery budget to label genetically modified foods. That was simply a lie. It was even a lie based on what they knew to be true, which was that $400 in their estimate was what it would cost for the entire state of California to go non-GMO. And that would cost consumers, according to their estimates, $400 a year on their grocery bill.
In other words, they flipped the numbers. It would cost $400 to go non-GMO, so they said it would cost, for the whole state. So then they said it would cost each individual $400 a year in their grocery bill? Each family.
But that was not true. The cost of labeling is negligible. In other countries that have had labeling, the grocery costs have not gone up a cent. In fact, a lot of products sold in Europe where they have labeling are less expensive than the products sold in the United States where we don't have labeling. The cost to everybody's food is an addition of 0.01%, and that just doesn't register when it comes to your grocery bills.
I would think that organic food would be ultimately, even though it costs more initially in the long run compared to genetically modified foods, never mind the health ramifications, economically cheaper, because you have this whole industry of producing and creating all this genetically modified seeds and plants and all the chemicals used and promoting them and selling them and dispersing them. All of that is costs a lot of money, whereas just to grow a plant and distribute it is much less, wouldn't you think?
That's right. If it weren't for federal farm subsidies and corporate welfare, organic would be much less expensive than genetically modified food.
One more question about the genetically engineered salmon is, is there still something that people can do about stopping the salmon?
Yes, you can send your comments to the Food and Drug Administration, and they're accepting comments until April 26th.
And
we have an alert on our website. You can go to organicconsumers.org and send a letter to the FDA through our website.
Requesting non-GMO salmon. And you were telling us that it came very close to accomplishing that, remember?
That's right. We have submitted over 1 million comments to the FDA so far opposing genetically engineered salmon. They have they've been taking their time. They've been going through a very rigorous approval process, you know, not rigorous in the science, but at least they've been giving us a lot of opportunities for public comment. And as these comments have come in, they've seen that with this type of opposition, they might be able to approve genetically modified salmon, but it's very likely that it will be rejected in the marketplace. And we can add genetically modified salmon to the list of other products that aren't being sold in the United States, even though they were approved.
And through buyers refusing to buy the salmon because they know it's genetically modified, the salmon industry would collapse, which is why they're hesitating to put it through at this time. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right. So we have more that we can do than we may think, and there's a lot to think about in this program today, and we hope that it was servicing you in every way and that you found it helpful. We were speaking with Alexis Baden-Mayer, Political Director of Organic Consumers Association in Washington, D.C., organicconsumers.org. And this program is, Pete?
The Ringer, and you can listen to it on Wednesdays from 8 to 10 a.m. You can stream it on the internet at whcl.org, and it's archived at radio4all.net, and then search The Ringer, W-R-I-N-G-E-R.
And if people wanted to hear this program again, what would it be identified as, please?
Is
it today's date?
That's yet to be determined, I guess.
Yet to be determined. All right. And again, I want to mention that Organic Consumers Association is working on current pending legislation in Washington State in particular now against genetically modified foods and putting a rule in to require labeling. And they're asking for donations to help accomplish this, which you can do online. What's happening in New York State with genetically modified labeling, please, Alexis, do you know?
There is a bill that's been introduced into the Assembly, and I can find you that information very quickly. We mentioned it before. It was AB 3525 and SB 3835. But if you want to call your state legislators, just call them and say you think genetically modified foods should be labeled, that there is current legislation in New York that supports our right to know about genetically modified foods, and you want your legislators to support it.
Okay, and again, I'm going to give this website righttoknow-gmo.org, where you can get information about this. Is that correct?
Yes.
righttoknow-gmo.org. All right, I'm going to turn it over again to you, Pete, and I thank everyone for joining us today.
Okay, well, thank you, Alexis, for joining us, and Donna, thank you for being a guest producer with me today, and that wraps it up for this week.
All right, good health to all of our listeners.
Take
care.
Thank
you for listening. Bye now.
Thank you.